it's time for another edition of Jonesing for Football as we reach the end of the month of May and into the summer months. Memorial Day weekend, of course, is the start of your summer vacation. Cody Winstead, I know you have many things planned. Bill Jones here in Dallas, Cody Winstead in Philadelphia, and that is the fastest spring semester ever. It's graduation time. It's time. School's out for the summer, young Cody.
Yeah, it's been great. You said I have a lot planned. I've actually done a lot since we met for our last podcast, including came down to your neck of the woods, Bill Jones, came to Dallas for a week and got to see some of my old friends and family, and it was great to do that. Unfortunately, because of the Mavs and Luka winning in the playoffs, I wasn't able to meet up with you, but I understand you're a busy man.
Yep. I headed out to San Francisco for the Mavericks Warriors series. So I've had basketball on my mind. But now, at the same time, I always have, if it's not my, my big green notebook in hand, I have my big black notebook in hand. And I haven't told you about the big black notebook, have I?
No,
the big black notebook is my NFL notebook for the entire season. See, we go old school, as you know, here on Jonesing for Football. And so this is my work from the last, from the spring semester on all the NFL teams as I get ready for the coming season. And the green notebook, of course, is my work on the draft. And so I'm never far away from preparing for a National Football League season. And so, young Cody, what do we have on this edition of Jonesing for Football?
I love your old school style, Bill Jones. I really admire that. Let's get into our topic of the day. We've got OTAs going on around the NFL these days, and we're going to talk about some rookies, but not the top of the board guys that everybody knows are going to be immediate impact players. We know that Trayvon Walker and Aiden Hutchinson, all those guys, they're going to be great players. Of course, they were the first couple selected in the draft. But we want to talk about some lesser-known players who landed in great situations that will eventually make an impact this year. It might be week four, maybe week eight, maybe after a starter gets hurt. But their combination of talent and opportunity could be something special during their first year. Bill Jones, I would like you to start your list. Who you got?
Well, you're not going to like the first guy on my list because it's not a sexy name. It's not a sexy position. But he is a guy who is going to be a walk-in starter for not a sexy team, although there are some eyeballs on this team because of they were at the top of the draft. And they had controversy at the quarterback, at the coaching, head coaching position with your beloved Urban Meyer last year. And now they've got Doug Peterson there. They had a great need on their offensive line. So I'm starting with my love of the draft on the offensive line at center. And that would be one Luke Fortner out of Kentucky. And I can see you're smiling because you had in mind, oh, let's find some fantasy football selections for people to pick in their draft come August. And we don't pick centers in fantasy football drafts, do we? But Luke Fortner fills the bill of what your requirement is for this podcast to a T, I believe.
Yeah, I knew once we threw out this topic that you were going to go with your man crush, Luke Fortner. I knew. I didn't know he would be first on your list, but come to find out, I guess he's number one. Makes sense. Tell me a little bit about him and the Jags offense.
All right. So they have a great need in the middle of that offensive line. At Jacksonville is Brandon Linder, their starting center for many years, retired. So it's basically Luke Fortner and Tyler Shatley to start at center. So Fortner is going to win that battle. Of course, they picked up Brandon Sheriff in free agency from Washington in the offseason. He'll start at right guard. And I really like what Jacksonville is doing with that offensive line. And keep in mind, Fortner, here's a guy who he had started at guard throughout his career on the big blue wall that is the Kentucky offensive line, which the last 4 years has been a candidate for the prestigious Joe Moore Award as the top offensive line. in all of college football. Well, he moved to center his last year, and that's what solidified his draft status. He was the first pick of the third round, which tells you a lot about what Jacksonville thinks about this player. He was very impressive at the Senior Bowl. In fact, Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, he's very high on him after seeing Fortner. Of course, he was high on him even giving him the invitation to come to the Senior Bowl. But after seeing him work with NFL coaches for a week at the Senior Bowl, the quote from Nagy was, some team is going to get a longtime starter when they draft Luke Fortner. Fortner, as we talked about leading up to the draft, a high character guy, very intelligent, mechanical engineering degree, a master's in mechanical engineering, a master's in business administration. He has the sort of the same profile as what Travis Frederick did coming out of Wisconsin for the Cowboys. And of course, Travis Frederick was the 32nd pick in the draft or 31st pick, one of the last couple of picks of the first round of that draft in 2013, was a walk-in starter for the Cowboys. Of course, had the intelligence to make all the calls at the center position. Fortner's just like that. But what impressed me as much as anything about Fortner was watching him on film when he went up against Jordan Davis in Georgia. And he has good movement skills for an interior offensive lineman. He showed that when he played guard. But he had the strength where against Jordan Davis where he wasn't giving any ground. And so as far as setting a pocket, I think – he plays with great leverage. You know, the centers come in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes you can be undersized and play center in the NFL. You know, he's listed at 6'4", 307 pounds. He's got the frame, though, looks to me like he can even put on, you know, play at 315, 320. He just seemed to be very stout. He's got one of the impressive things in his combine numbers was 31 bench reps. And so he's got the strength inside, and that's what showed on film when you looked at him go up against those Georgia defensive tackles. So anyway, Luke Fortner, he's an older guy coming into the league, which he just turned 24 this month. So he's just a mature guy who was at Kentucky for 6 years with the extra COVID year as well. I just think he's going to be a longtime starter for Jacksonville and might be one of the top centers in the league.
Yeah, you got to like what Jacksonville's doing overall. They've got a lot of – I'm just looking at the depth chart now. They've got a lot of young, talented players there. And this draft class might be one of the best if you look at it. They've got Trayvon Walker, obviously, went number one. They got Devin Lloyd, the linebacker from Utah. They moved back up into the bottom of round one and got him. Chad Muma, the linebacker, is a good player, and a lot of people like him. And you mentioned Fortner. I mean, you're looking at four guys – who not only could be really solid pieces, but building blocks early. Let me get to my guy, Bill Jones, my first one. It's David Bell, third rounder by the Browns, a wide receiver out of Purdue, has a chance to contribute early. I know you liked this guy. You talked about him in the pre-draft process. There's a lot of questions surrounding the receivers there in Cleveland. Amari Cooper, a good player, but definitely inconsistent, and you saw that for sure, Bill Jones. Donovan Peoples-Jones is there. He has only 48 catches in his first 2 years combined in the league. And Jakeem Grant is really the only other somewhat established wideout on this roster right now, and he's only averaging 14 catches per season of his career. So not a ton of competition for snaps on that roster. We know the Browns have featured the run game the last couple of years. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, both very good players. But they're not paying Deshaun Watson $230 million to hand off, Bill Jones. He's going to sling it. The last time he played a full season, 2020, he led the league in passing yards and yards per attempt. By the way, Deshaun Watson, 33 touchdowns and 7 picks. For those who have forgotten in his last full season, the dude can play. Back to Bell, an All-American, again, at Purdue. He's used to catching a ton of passes, 86 as a freshman, 53 in his shortened sophomore year, and then 93 last year, which was 11th most in the country. How about this? This is pretty interesting. He averaged over 100 receiving yards per game at Purdue. That's awesome. Stacked up 22 total touchdowns. I think he would have been a second round pick, you know, but he tested poorly at the combine. He ran a 4.65 40-yard dash. But Bill Jones, I went back and found some recent receivers who also ran 4.6 at the combine. How about that?
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
All right, here we go. Jacoby Myers for the Patriots. He ran a 4.63 in 2019. He only had 83 catches for the Pats last year. How about that? Kendrick Bourne, also with the Patriots. He ran a 4.68 in 2017. He only had 800 yards receiving last year. And then the last guy, you might have heard of this guy. His name is Cooper Kupp. Are you familiar with his work?
I am familiar with his
work. Yeah. Yes. He just finished one of the greatest seasons by a wide receiver in league history. Cooper Kupp ran a 4.62 back in 2017. So there is a track record for success for receivers that run a 4.6 40. I'm giving you my prediction on Bell right now. 50 catches, 800 yards, 6 touchdowns. I think it will probably come towards the end of the season where you talked about fantasy football early on. David Bell could be a flex option for players later in the season once he gets established. It might not be early on, but once Deshaun Watson gets used to him, I think you could look for David Bell to be a nice pickup there on the waiver wire.
Oh, I absolutely love David Bell.
I know you do.
The only thing, the only knock against him was the 4.65 40. Okay. But when you're talking about a guy, I love looking back at their high school history and then how quickly they make the transition from high school into college football. I mean, this guy was a stud, not only in football, but in basketball at Warren Central High School in Indianapolis. And he just has a maturity about him as well. Jeff Brohm, the coach at Purdue, says he's a special talent, a phenomenal receiver, even better person. But did you look back and see what he did his true freshman year? And this speaks to your point of him being able to come in this year and contribute as a rookie. His true freshman year at Purdue, he had 88 catches for 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. I saw a quote from Andrew Berry, Browns GM, and we know this receiver class was great, right? A ton of receivers taken in the first round. Andrew Berry, Browns GM, said that David Bell has the best hands in the entire draft class. So that shows you the expectation for him early on.
And that's what I've got in all caps in my big green notebook, natural ball catcher with exclamation point on him. And you can just see it. And a lot of it is contested balls too, where he comes up with the catch somehow, some way. And he's got a competitive spirit about him. I just think he's going to be really good as an NFL wide receiver. He doesn't have that long speed, whatever, but he is going to get open and he is going to catch the football when it's thrown his way. So I think the Browns made a great pick at number 99 overall. So that was late in the third round, almost a fourth round pick in David Bell out of Purdue. Okay, I'm going the same part of the draft for my other player who is going to break out in his rookie season. And he's another guy who, you know who I'm going with, right? You already know.
Are you going with Luke Fortner again? Are we going back to Luke Fortner?
There's a late third round pick. And this is a guy that the team that drafted him traded up to take him, giving up. And they took him late in the third round and they gave up next year's third round pick in order to move up. They coupled it with their fifth round pick this year, a fifth and next year's third. That's how highly they think of my guy, the safety out of Maryland, Nick Cross, who is now an Indianapolis Colt. And I'm telling you, he is going to be a really good player in this league, young Cody. And even at the tender age of 20 years old, as he heads into training camp with the Indianapolis Colts, He is going to make an impact even in his first year in the National Football League. Nick Cross, he turns 21 on September 10th, 6 foot, 212 pounds, ran a 4.34 40. Let me just tell you, don't let me tell you about Nick Cross. Let his college coach, Mike Locksley, tell you about Nick Cross. He has the ability with his speed and athleticism and size to really impact the game like few safeties are capable of. Elite level speed and very physical. That's from Mike Locksley, the head coach at Maryland. And here's another guy out of Dematha in Washington, D.C. area from Bowie, Maryland, who was a pretty highly recruited player coming out of high school, but he didn't even start to play the safety position or play football until he was a freshman in high school. The thing I love about him as much as anything, as his high school coach Elijah Brock said, he is maniacal about his preparation. But all right, how is he going to make an impact early on? At Indianapolis at the safety position. Remember Julian Blackman? I liked him coming out of the draft.
I do remember you talking about him. Yep.
Yeah. And he's one of their safeties. He's coming off an injury. Only played 6 games last year. I think in that defense, and Gus Bradley, now the defensive coordinator, taking over for Matt Eberflus in Indianapolis, I think they're going to have a lot of in their nickel packages where he will be on the field and their sub packages to start. And I just think that they're going to find a spot to use him. And there's a reason that they gave up a lot of ammunition with a future third round pick to move up to take him late in the third round. Nick Cross out of Maryland. He's my guy.
Like it. Love it. Obviously, Matt Ryan in Indy is getting all the headlines, but I'm looking at their defense right now. Kwity Paye, DeForest Buckner, Yannick Ngakoue, Darius Leonard, Stephon Gilmore, Kenny Moore II, who I was reading an article. He's one of the best nickel corners in the league. You mentioned Nick Cross. They also added Rodney McLeod. He played safety with the Eagles the last few years. So they've got a ton of really good players on that Colts defense. So everyone looks at like getting rid of Carson Wentz, bringing in Matt Ryan. Maybe that's the difference between the Colts making the playoffs or not this year. I think they're just going to be like, you know what? We're just going to prevent teams from scoring, and Matt Ryan won't have to be all that good at all. We're just going to load up on defense, and they got some really good players over there.
A lot of people are picking the Colts to sort of be in a sleeper team now this year and might threaten to go deep in the playoffs.
Yep, I think so too. They've got some nice, some really good veterans there. All right, the next guy I want to highlight, Bill Jones, Rashad White, who the Bucs drafted in the third round. I just love when guys that I love get drafted by really good teams. And they're in my house on my couch. It's like Friday night at like 10:30 p.m. and someone drafts somebody in the third round. I'm like, yes, I knew that guy was good. And then he gets picked by someone like the Bucs and Tom Brady. Let me give you a little background on Rashad White. He's already come out and said, Bill Jones, I want to be the starting running back for the Bucs, a third round pick. I love that he's making his intentions known early. But when you look at that Bucs depth chart, I'm not sure a starter will happen anytime soon. Leonard Fournette re-signed in March, 3 years, $21 million with $12 million guaranteed. So my guess is White splits snaps with Leonard Fournette at least early. And when you're looking for opportunities, you got to look at Fournette's durability. He's never played a full season. He normally misses 3 or 4 games a year, which should give White an opportunity to impress and show his skills. And this guy's got a lot of talent. Love him coming out of Arizona State. He spent his first 2 years at Mount San Antonio College, not down there in Texas where you are, Bill Jones, but in California outside of LA. Then he transferred to Arizona State where he was a stud, honorable mention, all Pac-12 in his first year. And then his second year at Arizona State, he just blew up. Second team all conference, around 1,500 scrimmage yards, 16 touchdowns. His measurables at the combine were very good. 4.48 in the 40, a 38-inch vertical, and a broad jump of 10.5. The one thing I know about this guy, Rashad White, Tom Brady is going to love him. Incredibly humble, a really hard worker, great in the pre-draft interviews. The character, attitude, talent all point to him having a successful career. So watch out for Rashad White of the Bucs making an impact. I think he's going to split snaps, Bill Jones, for most of the year, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. Leonard Fournette misses a game or two and White breaks out and shows everyone that he can play.
Yep. I like him. And the biggest thing, and you alluded to his scrimmage yards at Arizona State his last year there, 43 catches for 456 yards. And that's how he's going to be used a lot by Tom Brady in that Tampa Bay offense. There's another guy that Tom Brady liked named White in New England, James White, right?
No, there you go. We saw him in the Super Bowl do some work, right?
Uh-huh, that's right. And I think that's the perfect fit for him. And I agree with you. You love it when your guy gets picked by a quality team that obviously has designs on him. You know, I'll throw out another running back who's going to be interesting along those same lines that was a fourth-round pick out of Texas A&M, Isaiah Spiller, with the Chargers. When you look at what the Chargers have, of course, they have Austin Eckler at running back, and Joshua Kelly was a fourth-round pick 2 years ago. But Isaiah Spiller has a real opportunity with the Chargers to be that second back. And, you know, each year at A&M, he had, you know, around 25 catches coming out of the backfield. He wasn't used a lot in that role, but I think he can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. And so I throw him in as another guy, mid-round running back, who has a great opportunity on what potentially is a very good team to make an impact.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of people had Spiller as a top five running back, you know, maybe even like 3, 4, 5 on the list. And somehow, like you said, he kind of slipped on draft weekend. And let me give you one more, Bill Jones, if you don't mind, before we go. The Packers added a great piece on the offensive line in the fourth round. I know you're a big offensive line guy, right, Luke Corner? Okay, there you go. Zach Tom from Wake Forest. I talked about him in the pre-draft process. And again, selected by the Packers. Yes, I love it. The dude played center and tackle in college. He can play guard as well in the league. A really helpful player. Started 36 games for Wake Forest over the last 3 years. He played over 3,100 snaps and allowed just 2 sacks in his college career. So the Packers got a good one there in the fourth round. Aaron Rodgers is going to love him.
Would you like a cornerback from the fourth round that's going to make an impact in the his first year in the league?
Sure, why not?
That would be a guy out of Cincinnati who is the Jim Thorpe Award winner, Kobe Bryant.
With the Seattle Seahawks.
I mean, didn't they have another cornerback on that Cincinnati team who went pretty high in this draft? Well, yep, this is the one. Yeah, Sauce Gardner. Well, this is the one that was voted the top defensive back in the country and won the Jim Thorpe Award. And he's got those measurables they love in Seattle. They always love the bigger cornerback. And as a fourth-round pick, look out for Kobe Bryant making an impact his rookie season with a rebuilding Seattle team that will have Baker. No, never mind. Did you see Baker Mayfield and his wife apparently were in the Seattle area here this past week?
No, I'm assuming it's probably just because Seattle's nice in the summer, right? It just so happened to be that like they're looking for seafood or something, whatever's popular up there in Seattle.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So still some storylines to track as we go along here and the NFL owners' meetings. Occurring this week in Atlanta, and it sounds like they're going to get rid of the Pro Bowl maybe. Would you be in favor of that, right? The game?
I actually like the Pro Bowl. You know what I don't like is people complaining about the Pro Bowl, and then the ratings come out every year, and they're really high. So everyone complains how the Pro Bowl is terrible, yet a ton of people watch the Pro Bowl. So just shut up and just deal with it. It is what it is. It's, they're not going to blow each other up. It's fine.
Oh, sorry. I just teed you up. Yeah, yeah. Because what are they going to do? See, the players cannot be in favor of getting rid of the Pro Bowl because players, they have clauses in their contracts. If they make the Pro Bowl, they get an extra amount of money, whatever. And if you're only going to name a Pro Bowl team and not actually play the game, you realize the number of players in this league who will now not make the Pro Bowl because you don't have the players that are exiting the game, whether they be in the Super Bowl and can't play in the Pro Bowl or due to quote unquote an injury and they can't play because of that.
I hadn't thought about that, but you're exactly right. No, that's
it's probably 20, 25 players a year that make the Pro Bowl because they were the alternate. They get in as an injury replacement.
No, you're exactly right. Again, I don't know why we just can't say I like it because you just see like weird stuff, you know, like guys play different positions. Didn't we get to see Stephon Diggs and Trayvon Diggs this year go back and forth? And, you know, like it's fun. No one gets injured. It's 3 hours on a Saturday or Sunday that you're not going to have football anyway. Just deal with it. It's fine.
And, you know, one of the greatest Pro Bowl memories of all time, Barry Switzer eating a hot dog on the sideline. We wouldn't have had that if we didn't have the Pro Bowl game. We got to keep the Pro Bowl.
I thought right? You were going to say Sean Taylor lighting up the punter on the fake punt. I thought you were that is the greatest Pro Bowl memory.
See, we can rattle off all these great Pro Bowl memories, you know. And as Barry Switzer quickly pointed out, that same game, Troy Aikman wasn't even at the stadium at the end of the game. He had left to catch his flight back to Dallas.
See, it's fine. Just lower our expectations and
that's right.
Let everybody have fun.
I mean, it's the one weekend of the year that we don't get any football whatsoever in the last 5 months since the 1st of August. So there you go. Keep the Pro Bowl.
Keep it.
Get over here. Come on, Roger, get over yourself it. And keep the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
All right. That sounds like we're done here on this edition of Jonesing for Football. What plans do you have for the summer as far as Jonesing for Football goes?
Well, Bill Jones, I think we're going to get into most improved teams for our next podcast. I'm already working on that. And then I've been talking to some of my friends from NFL Network about jumping on with us here. Mike Giardi said he's in. Babe Laufenberg said he's in. I've got some other people in the works. So we're going to get into some teams here.
Speaking of Babe Laufenberg, I can't tell you how many times he's texted me in the last 2 weeks, where's my Jonesing for Football? Because, you know, I was in San Francisco. You were in Dallas. We missed a week. And, you know, our people are clamoring for more Jonesing for Football. And so we need to double up on these in the summer months. Because, you know, during the summertime, we really are Jonesing for Football, right?
Yes, sir. That's why we named it this, right? We started in the off season. We were looking forward to football season. Here we are, Bill Jones. Just 2 months left until training camp. It's going to get here quick.
That's exactly right. And really, the reason that we named it Jonesing for Football, it was during the COVID year of 2020 when we started this, and we were jonesing for sports of any kind at that point. And so, Jonesing for Football it is, and that does it for this edition of Jonesing for Football. For Cody Winstead, I'm Bill Jones, and we will see you next time.